I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, since we're living in a day that's anything but mundane, shouldn't our faith be anything but mundane? In fact, don't desperate times call for miraculous faith? I mean, the times are desperate, so now it's time for some miraculous faith. My guest today writes this: you are meant to receive the abundance God promises here and now. Even in the midst of our broken world's traumas and trials, you can learn to lower the volume of life and truly hear God. You can discover how to pray His promises instead of praying over your problems. You can discover how to pray His promises instead of praying over your problems. So grateful to invite Carlos Whitaker back to the program today to revisit his great book, Enter Wild. Exchange a mild and mundane faith for a life with an uncontainable God. And here's what I want to say to you. We've got 6 copies of Carlos's book to give away, but I want your engagement. So we've got other giveaways we're going to do as well. So if you want in on the drawing for the book, text the word book, 877-933-2484. But I want to know, what do you want to see God do, either in your life, in your culture? What would be a miraculous answer to prayer for you? And text that in, and we're going to draw some names and get some books off of our Faith Radio shelf and surprise you with a book in the mail. What do you want? What would a miracle look like to you? How do you want God to break through in you, around you, in a loved one, in your culture? Engage with me, and don't wait till the back half of the show, all right? I want to hear from you now. Can you tell that there's a pattern? So I want to hear from you now, 877-933-2484. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Carlos Whitaker is an author, speaker, worship leader, and self-professed hope dealer. I love this. He slings hope wherever he goes. He speaks at some of the largest churches in the country and at conferences, including Orange, Catalyst, and others. A People's Choice Award winner, host of a popular podcast, and also the author of Moment Maker and Kill the Spider. He lives with his wife, Heather, and their 3 children in Nashville. And I love this guy. Carlos, welcome back to the program.
Oh, Susie, thanks so much for having me. I was so excited when I got invited back.
Well, you know what? I felt like you really fanned the flame for all of us, and it just was time to revisit this, you know? And I felt like we barely touched the content in your book, so there's lots here that we can talk about. Before we get there, though, let's talk scripture. I'm wondering, just in your own time with God, is there something you've been pondering these days?
Oh, my gosh, yes. The thing that keeps being ringing clearer and clearer on a daily basis. And honestly, I only got to the scripture about in the last 2 days, but for about a week, I've just been, you know, just lamenting over where we are, lamenting over kind of the climate of our country, lamenting over where we find ourselves. And I was like, Lord, will you just lead me to something that I can lean on? And he led me to Isaiah 40, verse 8, where and I've been sitting for about 2 days on it, where it says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And, you know, I'm a pretty opinionated guy. I'm a guy that loves to share stories and look up data and statistics and all these things. And, you know, I think those things are helpful, but again, I don't know if those things are necessarily hopeful. And I was just reminded that all of the data, all of the kind of situations we find ourselves in our country, all those things are just fleeting. The word of the Lord is what is going to carry us through. So Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord will be the thing that stands forever. You've got to anchor your hope in the word. Hopefully that encourages somebody today.
So good. So I asked those who want in on the drawing to text the word book. We've got some text coming in, but I also asked for engagement from listeners. What would a breakthrough, what would a miracle look like in your life? And we'll draw some names for books off of our Faith Radio shelf. And Julie writes this, Carlos: a breakthrough for family members to return fervently and enthusiastically back to the Lord. And you've got a wild prayer life. I know this because you got an amazing prayer in the back of your book that we'll talk about in a little bit. But would you pray for Julie that she would experience that kind of breakthrough?
Oh my gosh, yes. So this is what we do. Father, we consecrate Julie's request to you, which simply means we present it to you, we bring it to you as an offering. And we say, do with this as you will. We know that your heart, Lord, is to see your sons and daughters return to you. And so we know that this prayer is not out of your will. So we can confidently present this request to you and say, will you, in your time, return Julie's family members back to her? We consecrate this, Jesus Christ, and we ask right now, and I just ask that you allow Julie to realize that she has your full authority coursing through her veins. And may she feel that authority rise up inside of her right now. Lord, if that's goosebumps on her, if that's just her heart pumping faster, whatever it may be, may she feel that authority rise up in her. And may she call out anything that is in her home that is not of you. May she send it out her front door to the foot of the cross where she doesn't have to deal with it anymore. And once that stuff clears way, Jesus, may you begin to lay a red carpet back into her home for any family members that have fallen away, that have walked away. And may there be a celebration like she's never experienced before to see this answered prayer, the return of your sons and daughters back into the family of her home. And so I thank you for her brave prayer. I thank you for her confidence in this prayer. And I also thank you more than anything for you answering the prayer. For it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you don't mind, Carlos, I got to ask you to pray for one more here. Jill Henderson says, a hunger for Christ that supersedes anything else in my life. I love that prayer.
Yeah.
I echo that along with Jill. May it be so, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Would you mind one more prayer? We'll dig in.
Yes. And it's Jill.
Jill, yes.
Jill, okay, yeah. This is what I ask for Jill. Holy Spirit, I pray that right now that you begin to remove the things that are in the way for Jill, the things that may be maybe clogging the pipeline to abundance, Father God, that may be clogging the pipeline towards complete and total satisfaction in you alone. And so that's what I ask for. I ask for you to rip those things out of Jill's soul, rip those things out of her life that may, that are not of you. And again, we cast those things out into the foot of the cross, and we ask for that line of communication and that line of abundance just to be cleared so that now, I mean, it feels like if it went from a trickle of your spirit into her heart, Father, it feels like Niagara Falls into her heart right now. May she be, now, whatever she wanted, may you multiply that times 1,000, Lord. May she feel that in this moment. I thank you for Jill. I thank you for her faith. And I pray that you just explode faith in her life. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. You didn't know I was going to put you to work the second you
got
on the show.
Let's go.
Thank you for that, serving our listeners that way. Well, I planned to ask you this question, and I feel like you sort of touched on it, but I'd love to know if you have anything more to say about it. But just wanted your take on the times we're in and what else God may be saying to you about it as you've watched.
Yeah, you know, and again, I maybe obviously not all your listeners were here for the last conversation we had. So if I repeat anything, I apologize. But I just feel like the biggest thing that we need to know is that, first of all, God's not surprised by any of this. He's not surprised by this pandemic. He's not surprised by the racial tension that our country is feeling. He's not surprised that there's an election this year. He's not surprised that California is on fire. All of the things that we're just like, God, is John 10:10 actually true? Like, I feel like 2020 is calling out John 10:10. I feel like 2020 is saying, hey, 10:10, John 10:10, let me give you another thing. Let me give you another thing. And I just feel like we've got to get to the place where we realize that we can, and I touched on this, you're right, we can have our help be a lot of things. There's so many things that are very helpful in the natural, right? Again, if it comes to, you know, whatever you believe about your health and about, you know, coronavirus, all those things, like, there's a lot of helpful things. There's helpful data, there's helpful doctors, there's helpful medicine, there's helpful prayer, there's all sorts of things. But our help isn't in the natural. Our help is in the natural, but our hope is in the supernatural. And if we want to really step into the rest of this year with a confidence and an authority that I know every single son and daughter of Jesus Christ himself have in him, then we've got to realize that our hope is in the supernatural and our help is in the natural. So, you know, do the things in the natural that are helpful. That's fine. But don't place your hope in the natural. Place your hope in the supernatural. And again, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be prayer and thanksgiving. It's going to be, you know, communing however is possible in the state or the city you live in with other believers, whether that's online, whatever that may be. That's going to be praise and worship on a daily basis. That's going to be praying on a daily basis, getting in the Word on a daily basis. All of those things, if those aren't the foundation for the rest of this year, I'm telling you, you're not going to feel hope at all. You may feel helped, but you won't feel hope. And that's what I hope people get to.
Wow. Somebody give me an amen. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk more about what it means to enter wild. And one of the first steps Carlos suggests is to enter rest. I love that he starts there. So I asked, if you want in on the drawing, we got 6 copies of Enter Wild. Exchange a mild and mundane faith for life with an uncontainable God. Carlos writes like he speaks. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. But I want you to engage in the conversation. What would a miracle look like? What kind of breakthrough are you looking for? Engage with me. And those of you who text in, we'll take a couple of names, a few names, and do a drawing and give a few of you some books off of our Faith Radio shelf. I love this from Nancy. My audacious prayer is that all across our nation, attitudes would change so that what is evil would be called evil, what is good would be called good, and that there would be a coast-to-coast hunger and thirst for the living God. Amen, Nancy. Amen. More with Carlos Whitaker in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to our friend Carlos Whitaker, who wrote the book Enter Wild, Exchange a Mild and Mundane Faith for Life with an Uncontainable God. You know, you want to see miraculous breakthroughs, you need desperate times. Well, we've got desperate times, so now for the miraculous breakthroughs. We've got 6 copies of Carlos's Wild book to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484, but I've also asked you to engage and tell me, what would a miraculous breakthrough look like? Where do you want to see God really break through? I love Nancy's response. My audacious prayer is that all across our nation, attitudes would change so that what is evil would be called evil, what is good would be called good, and there'd be a coast-to-coast hunger and thirst for the living God. All right, Carlos, your book is titled Enter Wild, and I love that your opening section is titled Enter Rest. Say more about that.
You know, again, if we want to get to the place where we are experiencing the miracle signs and wonders that God has for us, this wild faith, this intense faith in, and it's not news to anybody. If I tell you that we are way more stressed out than we have ever been as a country, as a planet, I feel like the earth is groaning because we have just been going 100 miles an hour for so long. And we were never meant to move this fast, ever. God did not create our souls to accelerate at the speed that we are currently going. So the first step to entering wild is entering rest. And the reason why we need to rest isn't necessarily to lower your blood pressure, but it's to actually hear the voice of God. And again, if you want to get to wild, the first step, you're going to have to hear from God. And so I call it enter rest. And, you know, I tell a story in the book where it's not really a story, but I just say that Jesus's ministry, the speed at which Jesus walked in the Gospels, an average human being walks at 3 miles an hour. That is how fast we walk. And that's what Jesus did. I don't think he was running from town to town. I think he was walking from town to town, or maybe he was on a donkey, who knows, but he was moving slowly. If we take a look at our life and then take a look at the life of our Savior, and we compare the speed at which we move, there is a massive shift as to how fast we move. If I try to sell any of your listeners something that moved at 3 miles an hour, they would probably look at me like I was crazy. Why is that? Because we have Amazon Prime now. You order something on Amazon, it comes to your door within an hour. I mean, that is crazy. And so we're expecting of things to move fast. And I'm constantly telling people, what if the way to catch up with God isn't actually speeding up? What if it's slowing down? And I have found personally, and that's what I write about in the book, when we slow down, when we lower the volume of life, the volume of God goes up.
Man, love this. You said, my hope is that you'll slow down enough to hear God in ways you never could have imagined, that you'll enter rest and begin to hear him so loudly, so clearly. This is possible. It's actually meant to be normal. But first you have to lower the volume of life. And you wrote this before the pandemic, Carlos, and yet it's even more true today. I mean, lowering the volume of life. I've been talking about this pretty regularly on the show because we have to steward our perspectives. Our souls are not made for the level of disaster of bad news we're hearing. We've got to do that somehow, don't we?
Yes, no, we have to. And you have to, I love the way you say that. You know, we have to steward our souls. You know, even looking back at my grandparents' generation, the only way that they could place somebody else's story, good story or bad story, good news or bad news, on their soul was if somebody personally told them a story face to face, or if they got a letter in the mail. That was like the speed at which their souls and the pace at which their souls were created to carry good news or bad news. But then my parents' generation got cable news, 24-hour news, even more stories, good news and bad news on our souls. Then my generation got the internet, right? And then we've got more stories, and we got email. Then you've got social media, and you've got, you know, you wake up in the morning, you swipe to turn your alarm off, you open up Twitter, and you're inundated with horrible news, with good news, bad news, all the news, and we just weren't created to carry that kind of weight. So, like, let's talk about simple solutions to that, right? A simple solution that I did is, like, I deleted the kind of, I call it story stress applications off of my phone. For me, that was Twitter and that was Facebook. Those were the things that were just throwing different good news and bad news stories on my soul that I was never meant to carry. Does that mean I'm off of those apps? No, I just install them whenever I want to use them, and then I delete them when I'm done. And so what that does is it allows me to gain control over the story stress that's happening. I also don't use my phone as an alarm clock next to my bed. I have an actual alarm clock that was probably made in like 1989, and I found it in my garage. I plugged it in my wall. People may not even know what this is. It's an actual thing that just wakes you up. You don't do anything else on it. And I put my phone in my kitchen, and I don't go to bed with my phone, and I don't wake up with my phone. And I make sure that I'm not putting more story stress on me. And I mean, that's just so beautiful the way you said that. Steward our souls. And the way we've got to do it when we enter rest is by making sure we're not heaping more on our souls than we're actually able to carry.
Somebody's got to give me an amen. I want to know, Carlos, how things changed for you when you started to make some of these very simple but effective changes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm talking about physical manifestations of anxiety that I was having, trembling hands, heart palpitations, all the things that I thought, you know, that the world or the natural, we'll go back to what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, all the things that in the natural I would think, well, maybe, you know, I've got to go to therapy to fix this, or I've got to take some medicine to fix this, and I've got to do this and that. I'm not saying those things aren't helpful, but I'm saying those things aren't hopeful. And when I stopped, when I lowered the story stress in my life, literally physical manifestations, heart palpitations stopped, trembling stopped. You know, I was able to sleep a lot longer, a lot healthier. All of these things, my rest became more holy and more sacred. And, you know, I think a lot of people think resting is sitting on the sofa and thumbing through their feed on their phones. And it's just not rest. You're just still consuming. And we just weren't made to consume those things. And so for me, I did find that I got a lot healthier when I lowered the story stress in my life.
You know, I'm picturing someone thinking, well, I got to know what's going on in the world. And yet I think about, yes, but it's like it's coming at us from every angle. More importantly yes. than knowing what's going on in the world, you got to know what God is saying in this day.
Yes.
And how many Christians really are listening to what the Lord is saying to them in this day. Yes. That's where their influence matters, isn't it?
That is where their influence matters. So you can know everything. You can be on Twitter. You can be inundated with every news station, all this information, data, and content. And if you are not anchored to the Word of God, that content, data, and news is going to sway your soul from left to right. How about doing this? How about anchoring your soul in the Word of God, spending way more time praying and interceding and listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and thumbing through the Word of God? And then, of course, like I think it is important to be up to date on the matters of the world. But here's another thing that I did. I actually subscribed to this thing called a newspaper. And what it does, what this thing is it's actually made of paper, and somebody throws it in my lawn every day. And I walk out to my lawn, I pick up this piece of paper, I unwrap it, and I read the news stories. And guess what? That is the only place I get my news stories for the day. Guess this, something may happen at 4 p.m. that I'm not going to know about until the next morning, but I'm going to be okay. And it's a lot healthier when I decided to do that instead of just constantly consuming.
You really are an old-fashioned guy. I love it.
I love it.
I just have to retire, you know? Yeah, right. I love that, though. Those are just very simple things. We don't feel like we have the option, but we absolutely do have the option. And wondering, as much as you're comfortable, would you talk about your battle with anxiety? That is something I hear from our listeners, that it's just, that, you know, that is also at an epidemic level right now because of all the uncertainty that surrounds us.
Yes, it is at an epidemic level. And, you know, I'll start with, again, realizing, I think we all realize, especially with what we've just been talking about, Susie, you and I, for the last 10 minutes, that we're living at a pace that we weren't created to live at. And so it's no wonder that people are having panic attacks, struggling with anxiety, struggling with depression. And so my story goes back to, you know, I guess it was like 2003. I had my very first panic attack. I had a one-year-old, maybe she was even less than that, six-month-old. Everything in my life had changed. And I was on stage leading worship, and I'll never forget, the room started spinning, my chest started getting tight. And I had to stumble off stage because I thought I was having a heart attack. A doctor came up and the doctor said, check my vitals. And he's like, son, you're not having a heart attack, you're having a panic attack. And those words changed the rest of my life. I mean, I began to struggle massively with anxiety. And again, this was 2003. So no churches were having conferences on anxiety. No Christian authors were writing books on anxiety. It felt like a dirty little secret. It felt like something that I couldn't share. And so for me, it took, I feel like, a lot longer than people really, than it needs to take people to find a place of healing with it. You know, I finally started, I went to therapy. I did all the things in the natural that I needed to do, which I think are very important. I went to therapy. I actually got on medicine. I began to exercise. I began to change my diet, all the things to get my serotonin levels balanced. And I'll tell you, Susie, that got me about 60% better. And again, I talk about this in Enter Wild. I feel like so many Christians are walking at 60% right now. Like so many Christians are like, you know what? Like I've been at zero. 60% feels so much better than zero. So you know what? I'm just going to wait until I get to heaven to experience 100. I'm going to wait until I die and I get to see and be in glory until I get to 100. But I mean, I'm here to tell you, John 10:10 doesn't say, you know, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you may have life when you get to heaven and have it to the full. No, it says that you may have life here and have it in abundance. And so if the promise is life to the full here, and I finally started reading that when I was at 60%, I decided to go all in on my healing and chase my healing. And so I ended up doing a lot of inner healing prayer ministry work, a program that I did called HeartSync. And that got me after about 3 or 4 months, it got me from living at 60%, which I was at with my anxiety for about a decade, to in a matter of weeks, I got to 100. And it is, it's almost offensive for a Christian to say things like you can be healed 100% of your anxiety, because so many people have had it for so long that they've just come to a foregone conclusion that this is who they are, that they've kind of claimed this over their life. And I'm here to tell you that you shouldn't claim anxiety over your life. You should claim the promises of God over your
life.
Whether or not you get that healing on this side of heaven isn't the point. The point is that it's possible to get that healing on side of heaven. So why in the world would you claim anxiety instead of claiming the amazement that we actually have?
Wow. We're going to pause here. More with Carlos Whitaker when we return. We're claiming the promises over our life. We're going to err on the side of faith and trust God to do what only He can do. We'll be back in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Honored to have you listening today and every day, talking to our friend Carlos Whitaker. His book is Wild and Crazy. It's titled Enter Wild, Exchange a Mild and Mundane Faith for Life with an Uncontainable God. And he wrote this before COVID and before 2020, but he was saying at the beginning of the show, 2020 is calling us to pray 10:10, John 10:10. You know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come that you have life and life abundant to the fullest. And what if we started to contend in these last weeks and few months of the year to contend for the second part of John 10:10, life and life to the fullest, that we would know what that looks like and experience it. We've got 6 copies of Carlos's book to give away. Just text the word book to 877-933-2484. And Carlos, you're right. Look, the offer we have been given by God himself is this: a life that is filled with heart-pumping, joy-releasing, victory-claiming, beauty-experiencing fullness. Now, will all of that be opposed? Of course. So talk about more of that, the promise that's given us, but the opposition that we face.
Yeah, you know, we are opposed. If you open the scriptures up and you start reading it in Genesis and you read however long it takes you to get all the way through Revelation, you're going to realize that the common theme throughout the book of all the books of the Bible is warfare. Like warfare in Genesis through Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st, 2nd Samuel, all the way through the Gospels, all the way through Revelation. We are in a battle. We are in war. And you know what? You know, I was taught in Sunday school, and I think I understand why. I can see where maybe my Sunday school teacher was what she was saying. But she, you know, I was always taught that the Bible is a love story. The Bible is a love note from God to you. And I remember when I was like in third grade, thinking, oh, it's a love story, opening it up and seeing, you know, some guy sawing the head off of another guy in the Old Testament and going like, oh my gosh, this is a love story. And then I started thinking, you know what? Like this book. This book, there's a theme of warfare, but although there's a theme of warfare, there's also a theme of like victory, that we actually win the warfare. And God, and yes, God loves us so much that he has given us the tools. He has given us the weapons of warfare. He's given us the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit. And again, we get to choose to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We get to wield these weapons at the enemy when the enemy comes towards us. My second book is called Kill the Spider. And I talk about in the book how a spider is an agreement that you've made with a lie, and a cobweb, which is what most people do. We clean the cobwebs of sin in our lives. We don't deal with the spider, with the root. A cobweb is a medicating behavior that brings false comfort to the lie. And so this is even the next section, the enter war section of my book, is kind of like Kill the Spider, where I'm equipping people with the tools they need to fight this war. I'm equipping people with the tools they need. And here's the deal. Again, from Genesis to Revelation, when we look at the enemy, we realize that the only tool, the only weapon that the enemy has is that he's a liar. That, like, that's it. Mm. He doesn't have any sharp weapons that can cut you. But what he can cut you with is his words. And he can convince you of lies. And if you make agreements with those lies, then you will be bound in chains. And that's all he wants, is to make sure that he's got, that all of Jesus' soldiers are in chains. But when we break those agreements with the enemy, when we come in and take the truth of God's word, the truth that has been promised to us, and we replace those lies with God's truth, suddenly chains break and we're free, and we get to sprint into this miraculous life that we were intended for. So like, I don't want people to hear me say that the Bible is the common theme is war, like as a bad thing. Like, I'm here to tell you that the common theme is war, because you actually, the word of God is your weapon. The word of God is the thing that we're promised victory. And I want people to start walking in that victory, walking with a little bit more of a swagger, instead of with our heads hanging low, instead of saying all these things that the enemy wants us to say. Oh, I'm so depressed. Oh, I'm so anxious. Oh, I'm so worried. Like, of course the enemy wants you to say that, because he wants you to agree with that. But instead, you know, start claiming the promises of God. Start claiming that you are free. You're a child of God. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. For your righteousness is of the Lord. Whatever you do will prosper. For you're like a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water. Like, this is your destiny. This is God's will for your life. And though there's an enemy, we walk in victory. And my pastor says this a lot: praise precedes our miracles. Okay, so wherever you're at, whatever season of life you may be in, right, and you're like waiting for that miracle, I'm here to tell you, when you praise, that's going to precede your miracle. But also, don't spell precede just like before. Actually precede, actually taking the seeds of the miraculous and planting them in your life. And when you praise, you're going to start seeding those miracles in your life, and you're going to see miracles come on the other side of your praise.
Boy, that's so good. As you're talking, I'm thinking of a couple of passages. One, Luke 10:19, for I have given you, Jesus says, I've given you authority over all the power yes. of the enemy. You can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will by any means injure you. And then there's another passage where the disciples come back running to Jesus saying, Lord, Lord, even the demons obey. And, you know, he was always moved by faith. But what I like that Jesus said back was, don't marvel. Like, I already told you that would happen. I think that's also in Luke 10. I already told you the demons would obey you. This is my paraphrase. Marvel, not that the demons obey you. Marvel that your name is written in the book of life. Like, that's the bigger miracle. You know, the fact that I saved you was the most costly miracle. And the juxtaposition of these two ideas, I think, are so important, Carlos, because we've got to be anchored in our salvation. We've got to be anchored in eternity, so we understand the little tiny bit of time we have here does echo into how we live there. And if we're not anchored in the goodness of God in our salvation, I do still think we'll be tossed to and fro. And we're not facing that enemy on our own strength, but on the authority of Christ and the security of our salvation. So maybe say a word about, you know, you mentioned in the book, the enemy is terrified at the thought of one Christian after another getting a hold of understanding their authority. I mean, he's terrified. Once you get that, watch out, right? Say more about all that.
Yeah, you know, the enemy is terrified. I believe that there will be, and I think 2020 is setting the church up for this. There will be true revival, not only in America, but all over the world. And so the enemy, what he's doing right now, I mean, he is going all in. Like, he is using every plan, scheme, and tactic against us. But just like General Patton, and I can't remember what battle it was one of the last battles that he led his troops into. My dad tells me the story. He said that General Patton actually was recorded of screaming, "I have your battle plans," when he was talking to the German general that he was going. So he had spies sent in over. They grabbed the Germans' book and they grabbed their plans of attack. Came back, and then when he sent his army and his infantry in, they actually had the plans, right? And so, of course, he screams it because he knew they were going to win. Well, that's exactly where we are. Like, we have the plans of the enemy. Like, we know that we are going to win. And when you step into the authority, then what happens? You can start claiming Matthew 16:19, John 16, Ephesians 6:12. And I like to take actually a whole bunch of kind of authoritative scriptures and use them on a daily basis against the enemy. And something that I say all the time is, I'll take those scriptures and I literally say to the enemy, Jesus gave me the authority to use his name, and that which I bind on earth is bound in heaven. That which I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Therefore, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind, because we get to do this, I bind the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness of this world. I bind and cast down spiritual wickedness in high places. I render them harmless and ineffective against me in the name of Jesus. Just like that, you can use the words and the authority of God himself against the enemy, and the enemy will tremble.
Well, that's a great segue into this chapter on a daily prayer. You've got a pretty significant daily prayer you pray. Talk about how it just came to be, and just how the encouragement for each of us to write out a daily prayer that's just biblically based.
Yeah, absolutely. So this daily prayer, there's a couple of versions of daily prayers. I found a couple daily prayers from like the 1700s and then like the early 1900s. And then John Eldridge actually has a daily prayer that he has in the back of one of the books that I read of his. So I kind of grabbed all those and I started, you know, praying through them, because I found that if I don't consecrate my day every single day, then just like you were saying, Susie, I get tossed and turned in the storm surges of life. But when I consecrate my day every day, I feel like no matter what gets thrown my way, my day has been consecrated. And so just because you pray the daily prayer that I have in the back of my book doesn't mean that the enemy is not going to swing, doesn't mean that you're not going to get tossed around by the storm surges of life. But what it does mean, and like you say so much, Susie, is that you're anchored. And when you're anchored, you're not going to sink no matter what happens. So every single day, I've got a daily prayer that I actually write out in the front of every journal that I have. I'm a big journaler. I'm a big believer that if you journal kind of through your spiritual history and your spiritual journey, you can look back at all the times when you ask God for something, and you don't have to just remember these things. It's actually right there in pen and ink for you to remember. And so I journal the daily prayer, and then I pray it every day. And then I, you know, as I'm praying through it, there's actually questions that I'm asking Holy Spirit in the daily prayer. I ask Holy Spirit, you know, is there anyone who my soul has been tied to in the last day that I need to break soul ties with? I ask, is there anything that is standing between me and you, who you are, God? I ask that. And then I break and I separate those things. Because, I mean, how many times have we like woken up in the morning, felt like the greatest Christian on the planet? Like, I can go. But then by the time we go to bed, we are just worn out. And sometimes I'll wake up, you know, and if I was believing in God 100% the morning before, maybe I'm at like 8% the next morning, and I need that daily prayer because I'm human. And my humanness and my carnal nature and my, you know, what comes up deep within who I am a lot of times is the brokenness in me. And I use this daily prayer to recenter me every single day. And it's become a lifeline for me. If there's one thing I tell people that follow me, there's one thing I tell people about my books. If you're not even going to read the book, just get to the last four pages and read that daily prayer every single day and watch things begin to shift.
Well, I'm going to just read a portion of it so you can hear this, friends, and maybe it's what you need. Father, Christ, Holy Spirit, I come to be restored in you, renewed in you, and brought back to receive your love and your life and all the grace and mercy I need this day. Father, you, I honor you as my King and give every aspect of my life totally and completely to you. I give you my spirit, soul, body, mind, heart, and will. Cover myself with your blood, my spirit, soul, body, mind, and heart, and will. And all that I pray, I stand in total agreement with you. I ask your Holy Spirit to restore me in you, to renew me in you, and to lead this time of prayer. In all that I pray, I include in the name of your immediate family members and acting as head of my family, he says, I bring them under your authority and covering as I come under your authority and covering. It's just beautiful and powerful and so thorough. And, it, you know, I can only imagine how it just settles you into the things of God and reminds you of who you are to him, you know?
Yes, yes. I mean, exactly. Settles you in every single day. You know, we've got all these things that are grasping for our attention, all these things that are calling us out. And when you do this, you just walk around again with so much more confidence because you have consecrated your day. You have offered not only your day, but your family's day. You've built a perimeter around your home with prayer. You know, again, rebuking anything that is in your home, you send it out. All of these things have been so essential. And, you know, and even while you were praying that, like I was feeling like girded up. I was feeling my soul, my heart was beating faster. Like just hearing you pray that was like, oh, thank you, Jesus, for these words that we're able to actually just feel so refreshed and guarded every day.
Very good. When we come back, so we talked about the title of the book is Enter Wild. That first section is Enter Rest. The next section is Enter War. We've touched on that a little bit. We're going to expound a bit more, and that final section is Enter Wild. And we're going to talk a little bit about warfare. There's a distinct difference between spiritual warfare and worldly warfare, Carlos says. We'll talk about that when we come back. We've got 6 copies to give away. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And also just love your engagement. What a miraculous breakthrough look like for you. I mean, if God were to intervene in a way that would almost take your breath away, how would he do that? What would you see him do? Is it a family member, your marriage, your health, something in your community, something in the nation? Again, I love Nancy's prayer. My audacious prayer is that all across our nation, attitudes would change so that what is evil would be called evil, what is good would be called good, and there'd be a coast-to-coast hunger and thirst for the living God. Father, we're desperate for you. May it be so. More with Carlos Whitaker in a moment.
So you can run right at your mountain like it's already moved. And you can chase down your Goliath like you know he's gonna lose.
Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. You know, I've been hanging around in Hebrews 12 where it talks about when we come to the mountain of God, we come to countless thousands of angels in joyful assembly. I want you to think about that right now. Countless of thousands of angels are gathered in a joyful assembly. And here we are on earth. And as we're heading into these upcoming weeks, I want so much for us to be prepared and not to settle into the gloom and the doom. Even though these are serious times, it calls for discernment and a sober mind and self-control. Absolutely. But what if somehow we really did take God's word as it stands, that the joy of the Lord really was our strength, and the peace of God ruled and reigned in our hearts. And we dared to pray that to a God who moves mountains, who's the same yesterday, today, or forever. That's just what I want so much for us to somehow, some way, march through these weeks as the kingdom people that we are. And we're talking to Carlos Whitaker. It's second time he's on the show, revisiting his book, Enter Wild, Exchange a Mild Mundane Faith for Life with an Uncontainable God. If you've had mundane faith up to this point, it is time to exchange it, because the times call for your influence and for your mountain-moving faith. We've got six copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. So we talked about that first step. Enter the rest. Lower the volume in your life so you can actually hear the voice of God. Then you go into enter war. And Carlos, you say there's a distinct difference between spiritual warfare and worldly warfare. In spiritual warfare, we have the advantage of knowing that we're actually going to win. We know the enemy will be defeated, even though he continues to fight. Say more about that.
Yeah, you know, we have the distinct advantage of knowing that we are going to win. But do we always feel like we're going to win? Of course not, right? We're human. We can feel defeated. We are having to sludge through so many difficult things. I mean, just 2020 in and of itself. I mean, 2020 has been so stressful from January. I don't even know if people remember, like, January was, there were these Australian wildfires that killed over 100 million animals in Australia. Like, all, it was devastating. That was going to be the news of the year of 2020, the bad news of the year. We don't even remember that was a story, because we have just been assaulted. Our hearts have been assaulted by just all the bad things that are happening in our lives and the bad things that are happening in our country. And I'm just here to tell anybody that's listening right now that, and I get these direct messages on Instagram or Facebook all the time from people that are like, I'm losing hope. Like, can things get any worse? Will things ever get better? And I'm here to tell you that even in 2020, John 10:10 is true. Even in what feels like the worst year of many people's lives, a thief comes not to push, bother, and annoy you. I think so many Christians look at that scripture and that's actually how they translate it. A thief comes to bother, annoy, and irritate you. And it's like, no, like, the thief is here to steal, to kill, and to destroy you. So now we're actually at a place where we're like, okay, I get it, right? But there's not a period after that, right? The scripture keeps going. But I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So what does to the full mean in 2020? What does to the full mean in spiritual warfare, where we're being attacked on a daily basis? You know, life to the full and life with abundance in John 10:10 doesn't mean we're going to be getting, like, I don't know, fancy cars, a nice house, our 401k is going to get, blow into this, a lot of money, our kids are going to never make mistakes. That's not what John 10:10 is talking about. John 10:10 is actually talking about, in the midst of the darkest moments you have in your life, you have the availability to tap into a peace that passes all understanding. Even in 2020, when you're being assaulted, when your heart is being assaulted from every single direction, you have an opportunity to tap into this, the greatness of our God, a God who makes the earth spin and float. And if there's ever been a year where we have had to stand up and again, put on the full armor of God so that we can actually use these weapons of warfare, this is the year. We are no longer afforded the opportunities as Christians to just sit on the sidelines. We're no longer afforded the opportunity as Christians to just wait for 2020 to be over so we can peek our head out of the bunker and maybe hopefully the enemy has gone by. No, now is not the time to wait out the enemy. Now is the time to go on the offensive. But you've got to know, so you're not fearful, when you go on the offensive, you will win. It is promised to us that we will win. So when you go into battle knowing you're going to win, I'm telling you, things change. And that's when revival begins to happen. I'm starting to see that in so many churches and congregations around our country that I'm being able to share with now. And it's incredible. And I'm really excited for this. It's weird to say, but I'm actually excited for the end of 2020 to see where the church comes out of.
You know, I just read a report today that some Christians were arrested I think it's in Idaho, for singing out in public. They could have raised their hands, but the fact that they opened their mouths and sang, they were arrested. Mm. And what a crazy time, Carlos, you think about the double standard really against Christians. We shouldn't be surprised, and brothers and sisters around the world have faced it from the beginning of time. But this is new for us. I mean, what advice do you have for people who fear the persecution that's coming?
Yeah, you know, I would say two things. And one thing may be a little harder for some American Christians to hear, but I would be careful claiming the word persecution as it stands right now in America.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, obviously. And I'm not saying you, I'm just saying I hear that from people in general. And, you know, because we have brothers and sisters that are being persecuted in other countries. And like we've got to know now, that being said, I in no way, shape or form believe that cannot happen even at a much more rapid pace in America, because we're starting to see things. We're starting to see politicians that want to put things into place that would be true persecution for believers. And so, you know, when we begin to see these things happen, again, our hope has to remain anchored in the Word of God. You know, we've got to begin to start making decisions like, okay, here's the decision. My praise may, in fact, say it comes to this in my lifetime, which I pray it doesn't, but say it does. My praise may, in fact, make me a criminal. And if that's the case, I'm going to have to face those consequences. But what I love to do is I love to go look at the biggest Christian criminal in the history of our world, and that's Paul. And I look at Paul, and I see that Paul was arrested for his faith. Paul was thrown into prison. But what did he do when he was thrown into prison? What did he do when he was persecuted? He not only didn't renounce his faith, but he sang louder. He preached more. And we know what happened when Paul and Silas were in the prison and they were praising God with hymns. What happened? Of course, the walls crumbled. And the beautiful thing is, and this is what I want your listeners to know, when you're faced with any sort of persecution here, when you're faced with anyone kind of butting up against you and telling you that you can't do this, the louder you praise, I believe that the walls are going to come down. And here's the beautiful thing. When Paul was praising in that prison cell, it didn't say that his chains came off. It said that Paul's chains came off, and it also said that all the other prisoners' chains came off. Can I tell you what a powerful word that is? That means that our praise in the midst of whatever situation we're in will not only free us from our chains, but will free our family members from their chains. It'll free our friends from their chains. It'll free our community from their chains. So our praise isn't just powerful enough to free ourselves from the bondage that we're in, but it's powerful enough to free our entire community. And so that's what I love seeing. I love seeing these Christians that can't meet in their church buildings because maybe the governor has said that they can't. So what do? They go outside, they go to the ocean, and they will gather as 1,000 people, and they will not let their praise be silenced, and they will continue to praise. And I mean, I don't know about you, but my heart is encouraged seeing so many believers continue to praise God in spite of the situations that we find ourselves in.
So good, Carlos. I'm so glad I asked you about that. Karen writes, and she says, yes, we are way too comfortable. We need to get stirred up. And that's the thing is when we start to, our faith gets boiled down. Prior to this, we have been so comfortable that we've kind of equated some of our American Christian comforts with Christianity. But true Christianity is Jesus is the hope of the earth, and he came to save men's souls. And we know that. And again, life on earth is short. So when we live that way, boy, the courage that rises up. We just got about a minute left, and you've got a chapter titled Pray the Promises. I wish I'd have given you more time to talk about that, but I feel like someone needed to hear what you had to say just now. Say a word real quick, if you would, about praying the promises.
Yes, when you pray, do not pray like the enemy wants you to pray. The enemy wants you to pray this prayer. God, I'm so depressed. God, I'm so anxious. God, I'm so overwhelmed, and I feel like the enemy is standing right there giving you a round of applause, because what are you doing? You're actually claiming with your lips what the enemy wants you to claim. Instead, don't pray the problems of your life. Pray the promises over your life. So then what you need to do is you need to take those things that you feel, depressed, anxious, worried, go find scripture that counteracts those problems and start praying those. So instead of God, I'm so overwhelmed, God, I'm so depressed, God, I'm so worried, know, now you go, I'm the body of Christ. Satan has no power over me. I overcome evil with good. I'm of God and have overcome him. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'll fear no evil. All of these scriptures, I trust in the Lord with all my heart, lean not on my own understandings. I'm filled with the knowledge of God and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. When you begin to pray the promises of God, you will see miraculous breakthrough come way faster than when you're praying the problems.
Carlos, you're going to have to come back and see us again.
Let's do it.
We love the faith injection we get every time you're on. Thanks for listening today, friends. I hope you found some encouragement here today. Hey, we'll leave that drawing open for about another 15 minutes. God bless you. We'll meet you. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.